Good morning. Good morning. So Pastor Mike let me know I opened this morning, and I've been thinking about how to start this morning. And so we've all been sick, and I was sick last week. My husband is now home with a crud, so we'll be lifting him in prayer. And Pastor Mike and Gaylene preached last week on wisdom. And we have a song that we're singing today talking about having a reason to praise. And wisdom tells us, or should tell us, that when we praise, it draws Christ closer to us. I hear people say, I've been seeking God and I don't know how to find him. Well, I guarantee you, you start praising him, he will draw near. Because he is enthralled by the praise of his children. So this morning, as we worship, we're a small house this morning, but that's still a reason to praise, because we came through the weather, we're here coming through sickness, and we are coming to praise our Savior. And we're thanking him for the ability to praise him every day for any reason, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift this service to you this morning. Lord, let this praise of this congregation, as small as it is, fill your throne room. Lord, let it bring joy to your heart. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we are praying for those who are sick and unable to be here. Lord, we pray for your healing. We declare your healing over their households, over their bodies, over their spirits. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise your name and we come to you in gratitude and thanksgiving. And we just pray these things, Lord, that your words will be spoken today. As your praise is sung out, that your hearts will be softened. And we just pray these in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus. I am your beloved, you have laid on my shame. She has defeated all my shame.
I'm yours.
I am your beloved. You have bought me with your blood. And on your hand you've written out my name. And I am your beloved. One the Father loves. Your mercy has defeated shame. Oh, mercy has defeated all my shame.
Each of our names. There's not anyone that's less than the other. And he asks for nothing in return except for faith. And so, even mercy. So I don't have to be ashamed of the decisions that I've made prior to or even during my walk of faith with the Lord. What a gift, you know? And I'm just so moved. Because he still chose me, knowing that I would make the mistakes that I made, that I would choose to do some of the things that I chose. And he still got up there and he took the cross for me, and he still petitions before his Father on my behalf. In your behalf. And so I just want to take this time and encourage us to maybe come and get out of our comfort zones. I know it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but just press in a little bit deeper. You know, he pressed into that cross, no matter how uncomfortable it was. And with every whip of those tails, he thought of us unregrettably. And I don't know, I'm just really moved right now. I just feel him so heavily. And thank you, God, for your presence here. Jesus, we just give you this time. God, I just thank you for who you are and the work that you're doing in each of us, Lord. I thank you for the miracles that you did last week that I wasn't here to hear. But God, I'm just so thankful, Lord, that even if nothing else, your love, your undying belief in me. God, I just give this time to you, and I just commit this to you, Lord. I just hope that this worship is just a fragrance to you. Oh, Lord, that you would just rest in this place and be glorified with every word, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Love me more. change the Father's love. Oh, there's nothing I have done that could change the Father's love.
Wanna know how high, how deep, how wide is love? Hallelujah.
it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for heart singing hallelujah,
but then just let it all be voices. Yeah, the part that you just did. I don't know if it's a chorus. Okay. There's something that's the only thing that you have fit for a king. Okay. Because even though he's a king, he's a good father, right? And as you see, children, he tells us to follow the children, and they're my children, of course. Don't always follow the rules. They are comfortable. This is their home. In the presence of the Lord, it's cultivated in our home where worship is constantly going and they're familiar with Him. And when He's setting in a place, you saw my kids laying on the floor just being because they just love the presence of Jesus. If you can and you want to, I encourage you to just lie on the floor and be in the presence of Jesus. But if you can't, sit in your seat with your hands open wide, and just submitting yourself, your whole heart to Him. He is such a good Father. He just wants to be in your presence. Like me with my kids, playing on the floor is my favorite thing. When I get to run around with them and act a fool, I love it. Yeah. So we're going to do this again, but I want you guys to just get in that childlike state where you don't care who's looking at you. You don't care who's beside you, but that you're just going to be that child that just is like, this is all I have for you. But I know that to you it's enough.
Thank you.
us, Lord. We're just so humbled by you, Father. God, I just love being in your presence and just being able to be as simple as a child, God, that you ask of nothing else but just to have faith in you and love you, Lord. I thank you, God, for all that you're doing in this place, Lord. And we just give this to you, Lord, as a sweet, sweet gift. And Father, I pray that this gift that we've given you, Lord, would just surpass these walls, God, and would allow for miracles to begin to just fall upon our city, Lord. Yes, Jesus, I thank you, Father, for giving us children to follow, Lord. Thank you that you don't need us to be perfect, that you don't need us to be refined, but God, that you'll take us as raw and as unbecoming as we are, Lord. God, I thank you. I thank you that even when I'm dirty, Lord, you come chasing me and you hold my neck, God. Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Lord, we bless this service. Yes. And that every word that comes from pastor's mouth, Lord, would be just revelation, God, and would just begin to conform our heart, like transform our hearts, God, and our mindsets, Lord, that it would be, you know, that your presence would just hang heavy in here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, everybody that believes that they've been forgiven, could you just raise your hand? You've been forgiven little or much. Everybody's hand should be up, right? Okay. So, if in your mind, what you've done in the past is, say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 0 to 5, would you just go to this side where the chairs are on this side? 0 to 5. You've sinned, but it's in your mind, it's not been too terribly bad, but it's been, you needed forgiveness, right? So 0 to 5 on this side. Anybody that is 6 to 10, could you come on this side? 6 to 10. Okay. So 0 to 5 in your scale. Here, 0 to 10, or 10, 6 to 10 here. So you all just kind of figure that out. And you, okay. So I read something yesterday, and it was so powerful to me that I want to share it. This pastor's wife was ministering to a woman that had had an abortion in her past, and then she, due to the circumstances beyond her control, she had been violated and became pregnant again, and but had been dating a gentleman that was Christian, even though she was not. And she didn't want to hear anything about Jesus or God or anything like that. Well, long story short, at 26 weeks, she was in an accident that caused her to go into pre-labor. And the baby was born, and the baby was very, very tiny, fit into the palm of her hand, just itty bitty, and was in an incubator at the hospital and was not expected to make it. And then the baby started getting a little better and a little better and a little better. But then the week before the baby was going to come home from the hospital, the baby took a turn. And They had to do an emergency surgery on the baby. So as they were preparing the baby for surgery, the mother was distraught. She was like, you know, have I done something so bad that God would not protect my baby? Well, this pastor's wife that had been slowly ministering to her over the course took her in her car and drove her away from the hospital while the baby surgery was being done. Surgery was going to last about approximately 4 hours. She took her to a beach, and this is what she did. She asked the lady, the young woman, to dig two big holes, big enough that a bucket, like a kid's sand bucket, could fit down into the hole. Asked her to dig these two, and she was just like, what am I doing? Like, my baby business, why am I doing this? She goes, just humor me. And then in the middle of these two holes that she had dug, the pastor's wife dug a little trench between the two holes. And the tide was coming in. And so after they got done digging, the trench, not as deep, obviously, as the holes, but it connected the two. The pastor's wife asked her to join her and step up beside her to look at the holes and look at the trench. And she said, this is sand. Your holes are obviously bigger than my trench, but we all have a past. But I want you to remember what this looks like. And then she took her on a little walk down the beach. And when they came back, the tide was just starting to lap up over the holes and the trench, and then going, receding, and coming back up. And as the water hit the trench and the holes, sand began to fill both. Until eventually, they were both filled as if there had never been any holes dug or trench connecting. And this is what the pastor's wife said to the young lady. We all have a past, whether it's a big one like these two holes or a smaller one like this trench that could probably fit in 5 or 6 holes, but not as bad. But the same sand and the same ebb and flow of the water filled both as if they had never been there. That's God. And God forgives both. So the reason I'm telling you this is because look at how this has been separated out. 0 to 5 here, 6 to 10 there. So big holes, little trench, but God covers them all. And this is what Holy Spirit wants to say to somebody today, maybe more than one. Stop remembering the holes. Stop bringing back the trenches in your life. Recognize that I have filled them and that they've disappeared. That you don't need to keep remembering them anymore because I have forgiven them. So whoever that's for, I want you to recognize that you are worthy enough to sing a hallelujah. Because you are actually ministering by your spirit to God, filling your life into His with a hallelujah. You have a right to do that. Amen? Amen. Okay, we're going to just move on with loving on each other and then we'll continue.
Yeah, drive safe. Drive safe. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, it's time for us to do what? Our declaration? Over the city, over the Yakima Valley. All right. Are you ready to lift our voices? Yeah. All right. If you would stand with me, if you're capable. On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this city. Thank you, Lord, for this valley. Thank you, Lord, that Yakima, Lord, is a place, Lord, where your presence is dwelling, Lord. Your presence is dwelling in the hearts of your people, Lord, but also in the atmosphere, because your kingdom people are here, Lord. And where we are, Lord, there is your presence, Lord. So we just ask right now that that presence, Lord, that transforms and changes lives, that transformed and changed my life, would touch the hearts of everyone in this city. Lord, that Yakima would be known as not just a church city, Lord, but a place where the kingdom of God dwells, where a place where your presence dwells, a place, Lord, where the light of the glorious gospel shines in hearts. Lord, we just release your perfect will, Lord, over every life, over every heart right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray what the enemy has meant for evil in this city through the years, with the gang activity, Lord, with the drugs, Lord, with the shootings and all of those things that have brought pain and hurt, Lord. We pray that what he's meant for evil in this city, Lord, that you would turn to good. Lord, that hearts would be changed and transformed, Lord. Those ones that are wounded and broken, Lord, that you would come and minister to them as only you can, and bring a hope to their hearts, Lord. Bring a future and a hope to their hearts, Lord, that they can trust in you, Lord, and you will transform, Lord, what the enemy has meant for evil. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you're working in our city right now. Even though we can't see it all the time with our natural eyes, Lord, we believe that, as the song says, you never stop working, Lord, and that we will hear testimonies in the coming days, Lord, of what you have done, Lord. The glory of God will be revealed in this city and in this valley. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I think we only have one announcement, and that is our service coming up this Saturday night on the 24th, Christmas Eve, at 4:30 p.m. We will not have Sunday service because of this. So please bring family, please bring friends, and just let's just come and celebrate the Christmas time together, but also a regular service where we worship God and exalt him as only, you know, as he's deserving. And then we're also going to have he's getting right to the cookies, but we're going to have communion. We're going to have a candle lighting. So it should be something that warms your heart. Amen. And then we're going to have Christmas cookies afterwards. So if you cook cookies, you can bring your freshly baked cookies, or you can grab some at the store and bring them if you want to. That would be fine. But don't compare the store-bought ones to the people who work all day. Amen. All right. And for those of you who give, thank you so much. You can give at onelifefamilyworship.com, or you can give in this chest up front or in the back. And we're thankful that the Lord takes care of the needs of this house. Amen. Amen. With no further ado, let's have Pastor Eric bring the word.
Amen. All right. any happy people in the house today? A few of us?
Amen.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a big difference between a happy person and a joyful person. So I really should ask, is there any joyful people in the house today? And it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. We don't get to, for lack of a better term, cherry pick what we want to partake in the fruit of the Spirit. That's free. That's not what I'm preaching about. I'm going to talk about authority. But it's not, I like to title my messages in a creative way. I like to give some pizzazz to the title. But sometimes I spend so much time doing that, I just don't spend enough time on the actual message. And so I wrote authority on top of my deal. And when I came back to it, I was like, I don't know what else to call this. And specifically where we're going today, just to cast some vision for, you know, the next 8 hours is we're going to talk about, authority that we get to take in Jesus' name. Okay. Authority that us as believers have access to being believers. That when we received Jesus, when we said yes to him, and as we walk in this, we get to walk in an authority that no one else does. And so when we walk into the room because we bring Jesus with us, things change. Things transform. Sickness leaves. Dead things are brought to life. You know, the whole graves in the garden thing. Like, that's what we get to walk in as children of God. Okay? So that's where we're going. I like to give definitions. So authority, this is what the internet said. The simplest way to define authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. And I love the end, enforce obedience, because when I'm talking about I take authority over, say, sin in my life, or I take authority over strongholds, or I take authority over sickness, I am then enforcing obedience over those things in Jesus' name. And this is the beauty of it, and the power that I think we would be better off knowing with all of our heart that we have if we walk in it. If we have this knowledge in our heart, and not just knowledge in our brain, because we could read the Bible all day, every day, and I could tell you all day, every day, you have authority. But until you believe it in your heart, until you actually begin walking in that authority, all right, this is what it looks like to be a believer that goes beyond just a Sunday churchgoer, that goes beyond just somebody who comes in and consumes church. There are seasons for that. We've all been there. I was there at one point. I came to church because that's what I was supposed to do, or that's what I felt I was supposed to do. But there comes a point in our life as a believer where we must walk in authority. Like, we owe the world the authority that God's given us. Like, if we don't access the authority that God's given us, unfortunately, I would say it's a very, very sad existence that we get to live on this planet. And it belittles what Jesus did on the cross if we say we're just going to do Christianity in a very safe way, and as long as I just come and check the boxes, you know. So authority, all right. I had a couple quotes here. This is an unknown source. This is a quote. It says, "You only have authority over the storm you sleep in. You only have authority over the storm you sleep in." Obviously, that's talking about Jesus sleeping in the storm while his disciples are freaking out. And why? Because if you read that story, you see that Jesus, as he woke up and they're freaking out, do you not care that we're going to die? Right, which is the dumbest question you could ask Jesus. Like, what? Like, it, so he gets up, calms the storm, takes complete authority over it, right? You only have authority over the storm you sleep in. This is a quote by A.W. Tozer. It says, "While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes there is a God who hasn't surrendered his authority." While it looks like things are out of control, chaos ensues, life ensues, life happens. Behind the scenes, there is a God who hasn't surrendered his authority. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "My prayer is that when I die, all of hell rejoices that I am out of the fight." I thought that was really good. When I die, I want hell to be like, praise the Lord. He's gone. Right? We have authority. Amen. Say this with me. Say, we have authority. We have authority. I want to read this verse in Luke chapter 10, NIV. It says this: "The 72, and this is the 72 followers of Jesus, returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He replied, I saw Satan, this is Jesus, said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Overcome all the power of the enemy, not some of the power of the enemy, not just when you're super prayed up and super Bibled up and super churched up, but all authority over the enemy. If I can challenge us, church, in anything today, one, it would be to completely walk in authority, recognize you have authority, but two, recognize the enemy has no authority. The enemy has no authority. Is the enemy doing something? Yes, he is doing something. I choose, though, this is my own personal walk with the Lord, I choose, though, to pay very little attention to what the enemy's doing. So it'll be far and few between that you hear me say, oh, the enemy was really doing X today. I don't have time to focus on what he was doing. Does the enemy do stuff? Sure. But I the enemy's a loser, right? He's a straight up loser, right? He's trash. I don't have time to focus on what the enemy's doing, okay? So we have authority, and not only do we have authority straight from heaven, right? Verse 19 says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So whether the enemy's doing something or not, I'm not focused on what he's doing, okay? So I want to break down this. We're going to read a lot in Mark 5. And this is a story that if you've been in church for a while, you've heard it. And it's the story of, we talk about the woman with the issue of blood and her healing. And then we're going to talk about the little girl, Jairus' daughter that gets healed. Okay. But I want to break it down in a few different ways because I was inspired by this word actually because on Monday I had one of our youth leaders, our student leaders preach. She's a young gal named Hannah, and she asked her, what do you want to preach on? And she said, authority. I was like, wow, okay. I'm like, that's awesome. So she came and she preached this word on authority, and I thought, what a powerful message, not only what she brought, but just a message to her generation to say, I'm 14 years old, and I want to tell you that I have got this in my heart and in my spirit that I'm going to walk in authority. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen an average 14-year-old, but not a lot of them are walking in authority, okay? Not a lot of them are walking in authority of their spirit, of their free will, of any of that. Not a lot of them are walking in authority. A lot of it is just, what's happening over here? Let me go over there because that looks cool. Or what is the trend? I'm going to go do that trend. Or what are they wearing? I'm going to go wear that. Right. So very little do you see authority. So this is what I was inspired by when she started talking about this. Like, wow, what a powerful reminder of just the authority that we walk in. All right. So start reading in Mark 5, and it says this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that you will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Now, I don't know if you ever read this because it goes pretty quickly. Okay, so I would again encourage you guys, when you're reading your Bible, slow down, put yourself in the story, see what Jesus is saying, see what's happening in the scene. Okay, we have a man, his daughter is dying. I believe she's 12 years old and she's dying. And imagine being in this state as a dad or as a mother, as a parent, and being so desperate. Nobody can do anything for my little girl. Nothing is, she's dying. Who can heal? Who can, I've heard about this guy named Jesus. Right? Why did he go to Jesus? Because here's what I believe. He knew Jesus was the source of authority. Right? Why did he go to Jesus? Jesus is getting off the boat. I need a miracle, and the miracle worker, the guy that's doing things all over the land and healing people and casting out demons, is getting off the boat and coming towards me. I'm going to go straight to the source. Do we go to the source? This is the question I present you guys today. Do we go to the source? Or do we instead try to figure it out ourselves? Now, I'm preaching to myself. This is me in a nutshell. Things happen in life. I'm immediately, okay, what steps 1, 2, and 3 that we have to do now, right? What steps 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then some that I can do to get me the help I need, get me the resources I need. And what I've learned over my time of being saved is that the only time I truly, one, get blessed, but two, find peace is when I submit these things to the Lord. I go to the source. I allow him who has authority to take authority over the situation. And I've seen time and time and again, whether it be sickness, whether it be finances, whether it be a restoration in a relationship, whether it be just a situation I'm going after. When I allow Jesus to do what Jesus does best, to him show up and perform a miracle, I'm way better off. Okay? Can I get somewhere by myself? Absolutely. There's people doing it all over the world. They're doing it by themselves. But imagine if they submitted their lives, if they submitted those things, they've submitted to the authority of Jesus, where, how much further they would be. So he went to the source. Let's not, we can't be satisfied with the counterfeit anything. When it comes to Jesus, us as believers, don't ever settle for a counterfeit. Don't ever settle for a counterfeit. So just to get personal real quick, we are a family that believes in breastfeeding. Okay? So that's where I'm going to start with that, so you know where I'm going. Our five-year-old, she, if you talked to Leon or been around her for any length of time, I think you would, you probably get the understanding that she is going to do what she's going to do, right? She has her own way and she wants to go that way. And yeah, she's an obedient child for the most part, but ultimately she wants to do the thing that she wants to do. And that hasn't been something that just come upon us. That's been since day one. Okay. So my wife has breastfed our children and Leona at 3 months, because Nancy went back to work and I was working, and so we would our pastor would at that time would watch Leona, and obviously Nancy's not there to breastfeed, so she would give her supply and she would give her a bottle and stuff. And I mean, when I tell you, we tried every type of bottle we possibly could. I don't care what those brands say. Oh, it's like it's similar to mom's breast and so forth and so forth. Leona would starve herself for 8 hours. We'd be opening her mouth and squirting it in her mouth just to get something inside of her, because she's like, I don't want that bottle. That's fake. I know what's real. Mom's not here, right? And I know I don't care if that came from my mom or not. I want the real thing. Right. And it was tirelessly, as a parent, she'd leave Layla home with me. And I'm just struggling, please just eat something. Right. And yeah, there would be times that you just have to come home. You just come home for half an hour, please. So this little girl doesn't starve. But she wasn't willing to settle for the counterfeit. Right. We can never settle for a counterfeit authority in our lives. And this is the sad thing about society, about the world, is that a lot of the world thinks they have authority. A lot of the world thinks that what they're doing is a power. All the world thinks that what they're operating is life. But ultimately, it's not. It's not life-giving. It's not life-fulfilling. And you know that because it doesn't take much for it to crumble, whatever the it thing is, right? There's only one true authority, and that's Jesus. And we... And this is the great thing, is that we, as children of God, have access to that authority, right? Isn't that exciting? We get to access the authority straight from heaven. So my first point is this: true authority is only taken with Jesus. True authority, okay? Notice I say true authority, okay? is only taken with Jesus. You may think you have authority and you're free, but the only one who gets you free and keeps you free is Jesus. The only one who gets you there to your end destination and keeps you there and keeps you moving forward is Jesus. His authority is the authority. His authority is the authority that Satan bows down to. His authority is the authority sickness bows down to. His authority is the authority that shifts and transforms lives. Why we are in this room, any of us that have said yes to Jesus, whether it was recently or a long time ago, it is only because of the power of Jesus. It's only because of that. And I've seen it time and time again of people who have been deep in deep, dark sin, and Jesus, because Jesus is so powerful. Don't ever, ever, ever give up on any single person and think they're too far gone. No, because Jesus, he's the trump card, but Jesus, right? And it may not be tomorrow. It may not be next year. It may be decades, but because Jesus is the true authority, he's going to come in eventually. And that man or woman is going to submit to this thing and they're going to fall in love with Jesus because they're going to experience true authority. Okay. John 8 in the Passion says this, verse 34, it says, I speak eternal truth, Jesus said. When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does. For a son is a part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. Unquestionably free, without a doubt free. True freedom only comes from him. And let me say this in regards to, you know, talking about freedom and the opposite of freedom being in bondage, is that if you find yourself in a cycle, okay, in a cycle where you're, I don't know, I can't get out of this thing because I continue to, you know, I get better and I feel like I'm free, but then I fall back into this and then I'm right back at square one and then I come to church and I get prayer or I read my Bible or whatever and I get free again, but then I'm back in the same cycle, right? The only way to break a cycle is number one with Jesus, but number two is to create a new cycle. So if you're struggling to break a cycle, it could be sin, it could be bad habits, it could be whatever. It could be simply, I just want to read my Bible more, okay? You have to then create a new cycle. It can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to throw this in there and hope it works out and it just forms into the cycle I have. No, we are most of us, a lot of us are creatures of habit. And so it doesn't take, but this is why addiction is so, such an evil thing and it's such a strong thing. And I'm seeing this at my time at the mission, because it just has such a stronghold. And the only way that any of those, any person in addiction is going to get out of addiction is, again, with the power of Jesus, but two, making a new cycle, right? So we have to do something different. Okay, we're going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, we in different, I don't believe it says it in this one, in this gospel, but in the other gospels, it breaks down that she had spent all of her money, right? It breaks down, she had done everything, right? And so what we see here, what we're going to read in a moment, is it was something she had, she chose to do something different, right? I've been going to the doctor. I've been, you know, doing the infusion. I don't know what exactly they had available for them back then, but I've been doing these things and nothing is changing. And it's been for, I believe it was 12 years. And she had to do something different. So let's read it. This is Mark 5 again, the second part of 24. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, sorry, one second, my iPad is going to die. when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him and the crowd touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just do something different than I would have been doing and go to the source, I will be healed. It wasn't, maybe I'll get healed. It was, I will be. There was a faith and authority she took in that moment. I will be healed. Immediately, say immediately. Her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering. My second point is this. In order to have authority, you must take authority. In order to have authority, you must take authority. So when we receive Jesus, again, there's authority that we have access to. But what happens is that we leave money on the table, okay? For lack of a better term, we leave money on the table. We come and receive Jesus. And I always point here when I say receive Jesus because this is where I receive Jesus in this spot, okay? So that's why I do that. We come and receive Jesus. We say yes to him. And he has, okay, here's everything. Here's freedom. Here's freedom from your bondage. Here's authority that you have. Here's freedom from sickness. Here's love. Here's grace. Here's mercy. We're like, oh, no, I'm good. I just wanted this little fuzzy moment right now. And I'll you know, and this is what it was for me. I got saved. I went back to my seat. I had no idea what happened. I was crying. I had no idea why I was crying. I just was like, I was just coming to church because my girlfriend was coming to church. I didn't know this was going to happen, right? And then over the years, I realized, oh, there's some stuff that I get when I say yes to him. I get to walk in authority. I get to operate as a son. I get to walk in healing. So in order to have authority, you must take authority. I have authority in areas of my life that nobody else can come and take authority, just in the physical, right? I have authority over my home. Okay, I have authority. Like, there's nobody that gets to come in my home and say, hey, okay, this is our home now. No, it's not. I'm like, my name's on the lease. Like, I pay rent here. I pay the bills. This is my stuff. You're not just going to come in, right? Like, I have authority in my marriage. Like, no man could come in and say, okay, that's my wife now. I bet you it's not, right? Try Jesus. Don't try me. That's my wife, right? So you know, I have authority over sin in my life. Right, I over the sin, and then notice I didn't say I have authority over my sin because I don't own sin. I have authority over sin in my life. I don't identify myself as somebody who is necessarily a sinner, even though I sin. But I don't call myself a sinner because Jesus calls me son. Jesus calls me friend. Right, so I have authority over sin in my life. Nothing about your Christian life can be passive. We are called to live a life following Jesus with intentionality. This Christian life, again, cannot just be something that we wake up and we just live our life and we just, oh yeah, in the back of our head, yeah, I'm a Christian and yeah, I go to church. Like, all of this isn't with intention. You want freedom? Do it with intentionality. You want to take authority over your life, over the things in your life? Do it with intentionality. Things I intentionally pursued as a believer was church. Like, day one, do I believe that God can and will move outside of these four walls? Absolutely. If this church closes down tomorrow, my faith is still intact. However, as a believer, when I became a believer, the things I pursued with intention was church. I knew there was a value to have it, to be around brothers and sisters, to worship with the saints. And to bring my family into that as well, and to have a value for that. Things I pursued as a believer with intention was a godly community, people around me. Proverbs talks about having many advisors. And so I look at that and say, yeah, I have friends and that's great. But also more important than that is I need friends that are going to make me better. friends that are going to pour into me, friends that are call me out, friends that I can say, hey, I need prayer for this. And they're not just going to give me a, yeah, I'll pray for you. But actually, they're going to say, hey, I'm praying for you right now. I'm going to send you a voice memo praying for you. I'm going to call you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Heavenly relationship with my wife and kids. Healthy relationship. Heavenly works as well. But healthy relationship with my wife and kids. This is what I pursued with intention. It was not a passive thing for me. It's not, oh, I got married and praise the Lord, locked her down. She locked me down. Praise the Lord. No, it was with intention, right? We had kids. Okay, awesome. Hopefully they get rich and famous one day so they can take care of me, mom and dad. No, no, no. It's all with intention. It's all with intention. Thank you, Joanne. That blessed her. Things I pursued as a believer with intention is prayer. More than just on a Sunday morning, but actually walking with the Lord in prayer. What would happen if Christians prayed? What would happen if we, dare I say, prayed and not just gave, again, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, but not just gave the cliche Christian answer, I'll be praying for you. But we actually prayed. What would happen if in our workplaces, in the grocery store, in at the bank, you know, wherever you go, and you encounter somebody, and instead of just, I'll pray for you, he said, can we take 2 seconds and just pray right now? I'll make it really easy for you guys, because I know that for different personalities, that's a scary thing. It's a scary thing for me. Right? I'm a natural introvert. When I go into places, I want to go and get the job done. When I want to go in the safe way, I'm not looking to talk to people. I don't even know what things are half the time. The other day I called Timmy because he worked at Safeway in Tri-Cities and was like, do you know where this thing is? Right? Like, so when I'm going to the store, I'm not looking to talk to people. Okay. So I understand there is personalities, but I'll make it really easy for you. Something that's made it easy for me is I will ask the person, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And it opens up something. People, oh, okay, like family, finances, health, whatever. Then I was, can I pray for you right now? Let me just take a few minutes. It doesn't have to be a crazy thing. Let me just simplify this really quick and let's just pray. Let's bring heaven down right now. Why? Because we as believers, okay, we as believers, we get to be thermostats and not thermometers. Okay, we get to set the temperature, not take the temperature. This is what Jesus did. When Jesus walked into a place where there was death, the story of Jesus on the boat, he didn't allow the chaos that was ensuing around him, right? He wasn't allowing the waves around the boat. He wasn't allowing his disciples that were freaking out in the boat to allow him to freak out. But no, he instead came in and he set the temperature and said, no, waves are going to stop. Everybody needs to calm down, right? And this is what we get to do. Just like this, just like at whatever 4 a.m. when Pastor Mike came in here to set the temperature in the room so we could have heat in here, right? We get to walk into that heat. The same goes for us. When we walk into Safeway, we get to set the temperature of that Safeway as believers. That's what we get to do. All right. So we get to set the temperature in our workplaces, in our homes, wherever we go. And we're going to watch Jesus do this here in a second. So Mark 5:35. Continuing on in the story, it says this, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman with the issue of blood, or had the issue of blood, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all of this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her hand by the hand and said to her, Talitha kaum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, say immediately. The girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders to not let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. We get to set the temperature when we walk into a place. Why was Jesus able to come into a room with commotion where people had already accepted that this little girl died? and set the temperature because he walked in complete authority. He knew exactly what the mission was. He knew exactly that I'm not coming in and allowing death to take over the situation. Why? Because I'm life. And when I walk into places where there's death, when I walk into places where there's sickness, I change what's happening because I'm setting the temperature. My third point is this. Believe in God's authority. Belief is a prerequisite to walking in authority. What did Jesus say? In verse 36, he said, don't be afraid, just believe. Belief is a prerequisite to walking in authority. I'm not going to read the full thing. You can read it on your own, but there's a story in Acts 19 where there was some Jewish people that were trying to walk in this authority, and they went and they were praying for this demon man, this demonic man, right? And they prayed in such a way where they said, in the power of the God that Paul follows, right? And I just have this one part from the verse. This is what the man said in response to them. Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? Who are you? Why? Because there was no authority. There was no authority. And what happened to this guy? It doesn't say how many of them there were, but one guy made many people, beat them up, stripped them naked, and all of those guys ran out of that place beat up and naked. I don't know about you guys, but when I walk into a place where I'm taking authority with Jesus, I bet you won't, Satan. I bet you won't, Satan, see me walk out of that place beat up and naked. Why? Because I'm going to walk in authority of Jesus. Jesus has given you every resource of heaven. When you said yes to him, you said yes to believing in the authority of heaven over your life. And here's the great thing. Again, all of heaven has your back. All of heaven has your back. So you may feel alone, right? We sing it all the time, right? It may look like I'm surrounded, right? But I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. And then the remix version, this is how I win my battles, right? All of heaven has our back. It may seem like we're alone, we're walking into a situation. It may feel really lonely, but if we can recognize that one, we have authority, and two, heaven has my back. So when I walk into the situation that seems impossible, well, one, we serve a God of impossible. We serve a God that's going to come in all impossible situations and make them possible. He has our back. All of heaven has your back. I have a silly story to share in regards to having someone's back. But I have a younger sister. She's 7 years younger than me. She's a brat now and has been a brat then. Okay, so let's start there. But she's my sister and I love her. Okay, and we were younger. I was probably 12 or something like that, and she was maybe 5. And we lived in these duplexes over on Mead. And the way the duplexes were set up was there was a set of duplexes here and then a set of duplexes here. And then right in the middle, there was this grassy area that had like some swings and basketball hoop or whatever. And so all the kids from the duplexes would come and hang out there. And so we're out there hanging out one day and we're getting ready to go back to our home, and my sister went ahead of me, and I'm saying bye to my friends, and she wanted to wear the hoodie I had on, so I gave it to her to wear, and she's walking along ahead of me, and I'm saying bye to my friends, and there were these other young boys in the duplexes that weren't very nice, and we didn't have very good run-ins with them, and I turn around as I'm walking towards my sister, who is ahead of me, my 5-year-old sister, mind you, she's about Lay's age, and I see this young boy who is a little older than her and a little younger than me, so right in the middle, and he has her by the hood, and he's swinging her around, all right? Now, my sister's a brat, but only I can mess with her. So without even taking a thought, I full-on run full force, and I knock this kid over, and I stop it. Right? Why? Because I had her back in that moment. And it wouldn't have mattered to me whether that kid was 10 years older than me or whether that kid was whatever. All I saw was my sister needs me and I'm going to help her in this moment. And I have her back. Heaven Heaven has our back. And it may seem like we're alone in these situations, and it may seem like it's been a long time that we've seen something shift or move in these areas that we're praying for, and it may seem impossible. But take authority and know that as a son, as a daughter, we get to walk in authority, we get to access this authority, and heaven has our back. Amen? The enemy's not that powerful. Stop giving him credit like he is. I don't know who that is for, but I am quite frankly, I'm tired of believers walking around with this meekness because the enemy is messing with me and the enemy is doing this. Yeah, the enemy is doing stuff. I recognize that. I recognize that he's moving. I recognize that he hates us. I recognize he wants us to fail. But more than that, I recognize that the God I serve. More than that, I recognize that although the enemy is moving, God is moving so much more, so much quicker, so much harder, so much faster. As a child of God, we have access to the Father's authority. So again, like Jesus said in this verse, don't be afraid, just believe. How do we access authority? One, we take it, but also we believe we have it. We believe we have it. In this room, it's not... I'm not bothered the fact that we're missing people today, because in this room, in this house, I know that we have the ability to access authority of heaven to bring it down over our lives and over our situations. Amen. Amen. So I want to pray for you guys, and this is where I want to pray. If there is something, someplace in your life, that you know you have been struggling to take authority. And I just want you to receive this today. I want you to receive this prayer and believing that this week you're going to begin to see breakthrough in this area. And I believe we're going to hear testimonies of people walking out of this place in true freedom, in freedom from bondage, freedom from things that past hurts. I feel like there's people or a person that has trauma that has happened in the past that has been with them for a long time. And you've wondered, is this ever going to not be a thing? Am I ever going to not be triggered by these things? And I believe that today God's wanting you as a son or a daughter to step in authority. And two, the other thing I want to pray for is I want to pray for people that we know and love that may be in bondage, that aren't walking in the church, that aren't walking in the faith, that we are going to step in and be... We're gonna pray for authority over their lives, that Jesus would encounter them. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this body. I thank you for these people. I thank you, Jesus, for your sons, for your daughters. And God, right now, I just pray that the areas in our lives that we are struggling with, the areas of our lives that feel like they're so much bigger than anything else, that the areas in our lives that have been holding us back, that have been a stumbling block, the areas that we feel like we can never get free from because we always go back to the same thing even when we feel like we're free. I just pray right now, Lord, today is a day, Lord, that on December 18th, 2022, God, today is the day where your sons and your daughters, Lord, walk in true freedom. They walk in true authority, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that right now you're revealing, Lord, to your children that they're free. And just like the woman with the issue of blood that held on and that did something different, I pray, Lord, that we would do something different. That we would not only do something different in the physical, but we'd do something different in the spiritual. We would do something different, Lord, in the way we think. We'd do something different in the way we talk. Reveal that to us right now, Jesus. God, I pray for our friends and our family, God. I pray for those that we know that are stuck in bondage, those that are not walking with you, those that need a touch from heaven. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we as their family, as their friends, would stand in the gap for them. And I just thank you, Jesus. Again, I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come out of this place of, I've been praying for this person for a long time, and they called me and they said, I want to take Jesus seriously. For the testimonies of people saying, I ran into so-and-so and I got the opportunity to minister to them, and I was just praying for them. I thank you, Jesus, that you're going to give your children today opportunity to exercise the authority that you've given, that you've freely given to us, God, that we get only when we're operating with you. I thank you, Jesus, that you've won, that it is finished. God, that we don't have to try to do anything extra, God, but when we come into your presence, when we say yes to you, God, we have access to it all. I bless this house, God. I bless every household that's represented here, every family, every marriage. We thank you so much, Jesus, for your goodness, for your mercy. And we just pray blessings, Lord, over the remaining of our day and over the remainder of our week. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I love you guys. Do you have something? Do you want me to pray, or do you want to pray? So Tanya and Mila Martinez... Mila, scarlet and strep throat. So Mila Martinez, strep throat and scarlet fever, which sounds scary. So right now, we just stand in the gap for the Martinez family. We declare healing over that home, God. We declare a sick-free zone over that home, God. Lord, we speak directly to Mila's body, and we say, come into alignment with heaven. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that at the cross 2,000 years ago, you took care of all of our infirmities, all of our sin, all of our sickness, God. And so we thank you that this, Lord, is done, that it is finished, God. We thank you for a good report, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have already won in this way. We thank you, Jesus, that this little girl will be healed. We thank you, Jesus, that this little girl will walk in fullness. We thank you, Jesus, that sickness will not spread over that home, God. And we just pray for strength over Mila. We pray for strength over the whole Martinez family, God. We pray for strength over the parents, God, over the siblings, Jesus. And we just thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's get around Joanne. We're going to pray for Joanne. And Jesse, you can put on some music. I'm going to turn this off, and we're going to pray, okay? And if you need prayer, well, let us know. We'll pray for you too.